Welcome to the Learn My Craft podcast. Today, my guest is Sungkyung Clifford, who is an incredible master at vibrant and huge scale botanical artworks created entirely with coloured pencil. So today we're going to talk about all the techniques and materials and what goes into drawing her incredible flowers on a large scale and what makes floral art so special. I personally am a huge fan of her work. So Sun, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Sun, take me back to the beginning then. How did you become an artist and what is your earliest memory of creating art?
Oh, so I become an artist, okay. Well, it all started one sunny Wednesday morning in 2018. My mother-in-law asked me to accompany her visiting a local art club. So I thought, why not? It's a beautiful day. I'll go with her. I didn't really have a mindset about going to register or anything. And then went there. And then I met this beautiful, just beautiful mindset of artist. Those beautiful artists. And they were senior artists as well. And it's just the atmosphere itself was so lovely, so calm. They knew each other for decades. It was just, they were chilling. And their canvas was just full of colors. And then I met my art teacher, Sue. I must say I love her. I never had art teachers, never had a formal art training. So it was kind of first experience for me. So that day, Sue showed me how to transfer the image on the paper using gridding methods and then what kind of paper to use, how important the papers actually are. And then one of the members kindly gave me a couple of graphite pencils to play with. So I came home, and that evening I made my first sketch of my boy, Joshua. And that's all. That's how it started, literally. I was drawing every day, like literally every single day. And at that point, both kids were in full-time school. So I had a time of like 9:30 in the morning till 2:30 in the afternoon. And that was the time I was in my dining room table, pencil and paper, started drawing. I started my boy, and then I was really pleased with how it turned out. And then I did my girl, Isabel. And then I drew my mother and my father, my father-in-law, and then like all the members go through it. And then I created all the pictures of my mother-in-law with her brother. And that point, I knew I was hooked. Absolutely in love with what I was doing. And my eyes were opened for those new things I didn't know existed before. So yeah, that's how it all started.
Oh, that's so fantastic. So you started drawing portraits then?
Yes, I did. It was very basic work because I literally didn't have any idea of what to do with what kind of medium to use or anything. I mean, I had experience using watercolors, acrylic, just a little by over when I was in school. But growing up in Asia, school doesn't take art seriously. They want to focus on two more main subjects. And then even though I had a lot of interest in art growing up, my mother and my father want me to take more traditional path. So this was kind of like out of the shell. It's like, this is what I meant to do. So yeah, so I started the people portrait with the graphite pencil. Then I opened my eyes for new mediums. I tried the charcoals, pastel, oil pastel, dry pastel, anything like that. And a little bit of a color pencils as well. And then my subject changed a little bit as well to starting with the people. Then I saw this artist's work, Ria. She's also Welsh. Her horse portrait I found, and I was like, thinking myself, like, can I do it? It looks really cool, but I've never drawn before, but I think I know how to do it now. So I tried it, and I kind of thought, I think I can do this. So one afternoon, I took a couple of my drawings and I went to the parking lot waiting for the kids to come out from school. And then I asked one of the mother and this child show my drawings. Okay, Naomi, I created this myself. Can you have a look and then see if it's good enough for the open the commission, like a service? And she had a look and oh, she gave me just the biggest response you can experience that. Really, like a boost on my confidence level right up. And she's like, son, this is stunning. Do you really do that? You know those kind of things. And she started to get other mothers around, like, look, have a look. This is what son has done it. Like, I still thinking back. I can't believe I actually have done it. But it's what I started. I mean, I have a really supportive family. So I have a lot of positive word, comment, encouragement inside of the family. But having those type of feedback from outside of the house was something different. So I came home and then I made a business card. Tell me about it. Everything just like a ripped off it. I made this business card with six profile drawing on it. My email address, and then at that point I created the Art by Sun Facebook page, and then I started to giving out to people, like going to the children's swimming class because they already know the parents in there, giving out the business card. I do this now, and then going to the, like a martial art class, giving out the business card. It's such an olden way to do it. And I actually had the first paid commission not long after. It was a horse commission with a client who was riding, was a her, he loved the horse. Old photo just recreated in a graphite pencil. And that was a really first commission, and I couldn't believe actually someone asked me to do it and someone willing to pay for it. And now I have to figure out, hang on a minute, I cannot just draw it. I need to mount it. I need to wrap it. I need the stickers, and there's a whole lot of new things I need to learn. So I made my logo not long after while I was drawing it. I created my logo. I ordered the sticker, and then I quickly researched on the YouTube how to do this mount. So I found out how to do it. Right about it. It was like there was no business set up whatsoever, but somehow I was actually doing commission business thing. So that's what I did. And then that all happened so quickly because summer 2008, I started drawing and then my first commission came in very beginning of 2019. How it all started, and then I became a pet portrait artist. And that winter, I had my first Faber-Castell Polychromos 120 sets, and I was over the moon because I always wanted to try the color pencil. I had a little bit of a taste session with Sue. He brought her all the color pencils I tried. So I drew a park image from Pixabay, and then, you know that time. It was kind of trend. You put the half of your picture, half of the reference photo, and then merge the side of it to see, compare the likeness. Oh, I liked it. And I must say, there are beauty in the black and white portrait, but oh, the color pencil, something different. I thought this full of colors, and I actually love about the layering process. Another thing is time as well. It's such a slow medium, suits me so well. I think it's maybe that's why I don't really pick up the paint because it's so fast and you cannot really easy to correct your mistake. But color pencils, as long as I take my time slowly building up the layers, if I make any mistake along the way, it's actually quite a forgivable. You know, forgiving medium. So my commissions kind of raised the itch area. So I was providing color pencil pet portrait as well. And then COVID happened. So that dreaded COVID period, actually one of the busiest time in my little business, Fine Advice Stamp, because everybody was staying home and they were not really spending money outside. So it was kind of, it's like a luxury gift item, isn't it? Paper trade. I was like a 7 months ahead booked. So I created four portrait at least per month, the time of period. So that was quite busy, and I learned a lot. My skill developed definitely a lot that time because I was practicing. One minute, have I lost you now? I hope I didn't speak too much.
No, not of course. I just love hearing about your entire story of how you got into art, fell in love with it, started a business. It's fantastic.
It's just everything happened so quick. I mean, when you think about it, 2018, up until summer 2018, I was a mother. And then all of a sudden, I'm drawing and I'm opening this business and I'm a pet portrait artist. Oh, and now I'm color pencil portrait artist. It's like everything happened within like a year and a half of time period. So it was quite exciting. Then I opened my Instagram account. That point, and you could see so many artists. By the way, you are one of my artists I discovered, right?
Oh, thank you.
I must say, I still remember it was white and black patch, the sheepdog, English sheepdog on the carpet. That was your drawing I discovered. I just couldn't believe my eyes. Like, how could she create that kind of such a precision details with the color pencils? So I bought the pan pastel as well after 4 years and I tried out. It's like this. I discovered the new artists and then look at their skills, look at their mediums, and then I try to invest those stuff and then I try out, find out if it suits me or not. Pan pastel unfortunately wasn't really work with me. So Instagram was definitely game changer. It opened my commission base to worldwide. And then I because more I saw the artist's work, it's not just animals anymore. People are doing the wildlife, bird, and also the different subjects. And at that point, I was lucky enough to be able to attend one of the big exhibitions, which was the UK CPS, the Colour Pencil, UK Colour Pencil Society Gala exhibition, happened in London. So I was in the Oxford Gallery with my panda drawing, and that was it. I thought this, like a 5 stories of a building full of colour pencil artwork. And so many different styles and so many different subjects. It's something I wasn't aware about it. And I thought, I want to do this. I want to try something else, something different. And I actually would want, I want to see my drawings in a galleries more. So I had to make a decision because I was so busy with the commissions. I didn't have enough time to create my own original. So I cut down my commissions and then created more time to do my original work. And that's the time I tried so many different things like a bird, wildlife animals like a panda, elephant, all different textures and all that. And tried to enter competitions. And I was lucky enough to get in the competition. And then picked it as well. So more exhibitions I visit, get involved, like more things you want to do it for yourself. So that's how I, my little business have changed a little bit along the way. But still, it's only everything happened within like a 2 years. It's a
So how did you
crazy
find
pandemic.
flowers then?
Oh, the flowers, right. I love flowers. I love anything green. If I can, I would love to make my garden full of flowers, full of greens. I occasionally introduce green in my house. My husband buy me the flowers for you because he knows how much I love them. But unfortunately, I don't have green fingers. They come to my house as full of life. And a week later, when they leave my house, oh, they're definitely dead. I don't know what I need to do. I look after them, I water them, I even dry clothes, like I wash their leaves, fertilize them. But it's like if I'm breathing on them, they die. It's like I touch them, they
Oh
die. Yeah, if I go around in a glass, look at it, oh yeah, they don't like it. The frustration, you won't believe it, because how much I want to have them in the house. Anyway, so around that point, I found this artist, CJ Hendry. Do you know her? She's massive.
Yes.
I saw her one of her floral drawing, and oh my God, just like a photo, so realistic, and the scale of her drawing is so massive. And I thought, oh, hang on a minute, I would love to do that. Oh, if I draw flower, oh, they will never die. That humorous idea with the inspiration from the artist made me pick up the pencil and then start to draw my first rose. That was January 2022, it was. And then I named it Something Big, Something Beautiful, the 20 inch by 20 red rose. And then it was just a starting point of my obsession of flowers. Ended up 9 big flower drawings. That's how it started because I cannot keep them alive.
That's so wonderful and quite hilarious.
It is so frustrating. I seriously, if I will abandon them, oh, they are getting bigger and brighter. If I look at them, they don't like it. With my plant, it's like I can keep them alive on my paper, but not in real life.
At least they'll be alive forever now.
Well, that's my saying it. At least this way they live forever. Whether you believe or not, to me it is.
So what about flowers keeps you going back and keeps you drawing them? Like, what are you obsessed about?
Oh, I love their colors and the varieties and the delicacy. Even though it's the same type of flowers, they are never same. It's the same rose, the same color, but they are never same. And it's just planned to go for it. You know, as you are a portrait artist, you draw a lot of animals, but because of the particular breed and they are kind of repetitive work process, isn't it? But flower itself, they are never same. Any flower I draw in today will be different than tomorrow. And that's definitely, I haven't got bored of it yet.
That's fantastic. So, how would you describe your artistic style then, and how has it evolved over time?
I would say my artistic style is photorealism. So reference photos, quite important part of my process. Because I have my reference photo as a resource and then as a like a very important base. But it's not particularly but I don't create my piece exactly same as the photo. I alter the colors along the way as well. I change the details along the way as well. So when you look at the reference photo and then my original drawing, you can see they are the same source, but they are not quite the same. Yeah, I would say that the photorealism, I would say.
I would say too, I think your
Yeah.
stuff is incredible. I love how realistic they are.
Thank you.
So what's your favorite piece that you've ever worked on?
Favorite piece? I must say, a flower. I really enjoyed the entire process and then it resonated with me. I think when I created the sunflower, I actually named it the beginning of sunrise. It's because the position itself, it wasn't actually the position I drew it. It was more like a side line down, but I kind of tilted a little bit, looking like it's
Mm-hmm.
looking up in the sky, but it's not fully open yet. So there's my
That one behind me.
I think it, yes, that one. I think it has my bit of artist art was there. It had the most attention from viewers as well. I think it was kind of piece made me started to get noticed by other people. But up until this point, I was the one who kind of cut down the commissions. So income is kind of reduced dramatically. I'm spending more time creating the one piece because that point, my drawings, I spend about over 100 hours solely drawing time, hence the coffee break or sleeping all
Wow.
out, just drawing over 100 hours for finishing the one piece. Therefore, I do like a one piece per month, and it's such a slow process. And then, you have this desperational feeling, I wish people notice me. I wish people see my drawings. You know what I mean? And I think it's kind of met with what I wanted at that time when I created this sunflower. So it's definitely my favorite. And I think it's loved by many people as well. Yeah.
Definitely. I feel like that particular angle, and then because it's not open yet, it feels like there's so much promise, so much
Yeah.
potential. It's like, oh, what's gonna happen? Like, it just has
Exactly.
so much more
You just
story to it than an open flower.
that's right. You just need a little patience, little time, little bit of sunshine of attention from others to, notice I'm here and I'm finally fully open and I'm out there. But
Yeah.
I honestly, when you ask me about this podcast to join you, it's kind of that this is kind of the moment I was waiting for. I was extremely nervous about coming here today. But it's like you notice about me, you're interested about my work. You know what I mean? So this is kind of the moment I would desperately want. And I think it's happening.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, because you're now that sunflower ready to open up.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So I do what you said about color in the flowers, and I personally love your use of color. You always keep it so bright. So what techniques do you use to keep the color pencil so bright and to stop it from going muddy?
I think it's slow. Take your time. I already take my time with each piece. It's like I am sitting drawing for 3 hours, and it's not even exaggeration either. I'm coloring 3 hours one area, and then you can barely see the co you can just see the color. So it's like I am slowly building it. Let paper take as much as the pigment I they allow to give them. Do you know what I mean? Like I just slowly giving them a color, and I don't afraid mixing colors either. I use four different brand pencils, Fabcast Polychromos and Luminance and Darwin Lightfast and then Caran d'Ache Pablo. Those four pencils, I have a full set each of it, and then I'm just using them all together. Because even though they are saying this is the same shade, it's not the same shade at all. They are all different. And I think it's only we know as a color pencil artist the tiny little difference of it, and then what pencils work better with the others and all those. So I don't afraid mixing them, but very slowly. Wouldn't say very carefully, but very slowly. Yeah. So I
Do
think
you
that's
have,
how.
sorry, I was going to ask, so do you have your specific process then with which colors you like to use first and then what colors you like to use on the next layer, like in terms of the brand?
Well, when I choose the reference photo, I study quite carefully what color I might need it. And then I go through my color pencils palette and then pick out the pencils I think what I needed, and then make a little color chart first and then test out the colors just to see, and when they mix together. But Not really specific degree though, it's quite a basic process. And when I have a set of color pens, I think I should. Oh, I'm not sure you can see it. So this is a color chart, very basic, so simple. This is for my current artwork, the rose. And then once I have this in front of me, then I start color them and layering it. And if I think I need new color need to be added, then I just go grab the new one, the one close so I can find it. I don't really care about what brand I'm going for it, but what I carefully use though is a wax based and oil based. I usually use wax for when I need to blend the color, when I want a sweet, like a smoothness. And then I go for the oil-based one for when I do the seed and the detail work. That's how I, and then I work them between as well. They will be like a wax to like a, I blend it first, then go for the detail work. Then I will go over with the, like a blending process again. But because you had the detail work, we still have the line in there. Give me a next time when I go up there, it'll give me a bit of a shadow. You can create something else. What they just remained behind with the blended color, it still stayed behind quite a subtle color, subtle line, and that created the natural look of the vein of the flower petal.
Well, that's very interesting because I feel like I do a similar thing with putting wax colored pencils on first, using the oil ones for the detail. I do that in pet portraits as well, yeah.
That's right, that's right.
So you said about like you do your color matching, but then before you were saying how you like to change the color as well as your drawing, so it's not always the same as your reference photo. So
Not really.
what's your sort of mindset behind that? Like, how do you know what to change? What do you like to emphasize?
To be honest with you, I think it all depends what kind of mood I'm in that day.
Oh.
It really does. My environment, working environment, is quite calm because both kids in school and hubby is working. It's only me and my dog Lola. So generally it's quite calm. So that's why my works has a kind of similar mood in it. But yeah, it depends what kind of mood I am in that day. If I want to go a little bit bolder colors, I just use the, okay, I could give that a little bit of extra here. But that's, I think that's about it. How we decide. Yeah, I think so. I never thought about that actually.
That's really interesting. I've personally been actually trying flowers lately. I've been doing like miniature studies, and the thing I'm struggling with the most is the texture. So like getting the petals to be looking smooth enough. Like I can do portraits, I can do faces, but for some reason, petals just seem very, very hard. So what are your tips for me?
Layering and blending, so simple. It's just what I noticed with petal, and then those petals are so different as well. Like a rose petal has that thickness in it, but if you go for the cosmos, it's a thin, more transparent the texture, isn't it? Using luminance, try to use a luminance, like how can I put this example? If you have a pink color as a base, well, go try to use a luminance like oyster color or something aligned to it, much, much lighter one. Try to use that to blend it, and then try to use a little darker color to build up the value, and then just repeat the process. Don't afraid to use white because I actually do use a white pencil, but not the polychromos. I use a Pablo White or a Tonal Fast White. Don't afraid to use those to blend it and then build the color on the top of it because they do actually give you the smoother surface.
Oh, okay. I think I was going too heavy then because I feel like my colors looked a bit illustrative. They're a bit too like chunky, I guess, and outliney rather than like a delicate flower.
I find, have you tried the bigger size of flowers though? I notice when I draw a flower, the smaller size, I have a sort of similar feeling as well. But when you experience the bigger, like a kofta's bigger size, it actually give you more room to play with.
Right, okay. I'll definitely try it bigger then, yeah, because I've been doing little studies like this.
Yeah,
So, yeah,
to me.
quite small. Yeah, but no, I understand what you mean. So you talked about paper before. Can you tell me like what paper you use, what ones have you tried, and what you like about the paper that you use?
Well, my favorite paper, which I use for all of my drawings, Fabriano Artistico 300 gram, and another is 640 as well, but it's quite thick. So I guess it is either you hate it or you love it, because you have to put so many layers to achieve the same kind of effect with the 300. But I personally like 640, I do, because of it, I love this slow building process. So it kind of suits me as well. And once you pass that dreadful moment, I'm probably for other people, like, I cannot see the result. I spent like 10 hours in this. Where is my drawing? But if you pass that, and then you will definitely have that result in front of you, the one you love it. So yes, Fabriano Artistico is my definitely go-to paper. I don't have a lot of experience on the others. I tried the Strathmore, I tried the draft paper, I draft film, but that's about it. What I notice, I don't like a change. When I have something, I stick with it. Like this paper, literally, recommended by Sue, my art teacher. She said, "This is a good paper, son. You got to use this." Like, all right then. And then I started using it, and I'm still using it. So yeah, I think that's what it is. I don't like a change.
I know what you mean
So
though, because if it's working for you, then you don't need to change anything, do you?
I tried the pastel matte as well once, and I actually would love to try it once again. But I just it just didn't work with me that time. It's like a pan pastel. It didn't work with me that time, but I still have it with me. So I would love to have a go again. But yeah, for now, if anybody asks me, definitely Fabriano Artistico HP watercolor paper. Yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I know what you mean by like having thicker paper because I've recently been using the Derwent Lightfast one and that's 300 GSM and I love it. It's the thickest paper I've ever tried because I'm used to the Strathmore 500 series and then before that I was using like Winsor & Newton Bristol board which is all like, 200 to 250 area. So this is the thickest I've ever used and I love how many layers you can put down. It's very nice.
It does take you, isn't it? It can take the pencil, definitely. The thing is, if you want to achieve the realistic depth, realistic details, the colors, you got to put some layers on the top of it. But the thin papers, they can't take it. But all the heavy papers, they definitely know what to do with it. Yeah, I know it's been.
Yeah, I'm tempted to try that Fabriano one now because I've actually never tried that brand before.
Oh, please do. It's really lovely paper to work with. It's not too smooth, but it is not too thin. It has enough texture. So it's really lovely paper to work with, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I'll give that a go then. Another problem I've been having with my flower drawings is the lighting because you can have quite harsh lighting in it. And it plays quite a huge role in what makes it look real. There's very like overexposed areas and underexposed and you can't necessarily add black because then it just goes too dark. So how do you create the sense of light and the form with your coloured pencils?
I must say that's my that's most difficult part for me as well. Some people leave the highlight area. There's quite a few methods. Some people actually want to leave as white as possible as paper. They don't want to touch it. Or some people want to use a gel pencil or accent actually the gouache to do it, but I don't wanna, I just wanna have a pure color pencil, right? So building the layers, try to leave the light area as possible, just to tackle the other places, but I can help myself keep overlapping. I keep applying the colors on it. You know, like people said, less is more. I need to learn that because I can help myself continuously. Like even with a light color, I'm continuously applying it. My latest completed piece is Love, which is the love balloons with the poppy in the middle. This is the biggest example how much I struggle to contain the light. I finished it. It's 14 by 14, so this is a big piece, and I just lost it, completely lost it. I'm devastated. I'm still, it's literally sitting on my side of my studio on the board. So it's everybody's way. I cannot pack it away because it's so big. I cannot roll it. I cannot pack it. Anyways, it's right there. And every time I'm passing by it, I'm thinking, what am I gonna do with this? How am I gonna do with this? Because I literally lost the light. I put too much color on it. I did. And when you put too many layers, even the electric eraser wouldn't work. That's how bad I went. So I need to figure out what to do with it. But I know what you mean. Lighting is such a really important part to create a realistic drawing. Definitely. You need to know. Well, I'm not the expert to say it because I just made the biggest mistake on my drawing. You just need to carefully work with it. The highlight, try to leave it as it is. Try not to put too much color on it. So in order to do that, you must study your reference photo carefully, so where you need to leave the light area as light as possible, not too much, not interfere with too many colors. So yeah, creating shadow actually isn't the problem with me actually. I quite like it. As I said, because of the slow process, get creating the shadow, I don't get there quickly, I get there quite gradually. So most of the creating shadow part are quite manageable way to be done. And then I haven't had any problem yet. But oh, highlights, yes, I'm still learning.
No, fair enough. I understand that too, because I find well, I've been finding that in the flowers, how easy it is to go overboard with the colors when you look back at it and you're like, oh wait, that's a lot less saturated than I've just done, and it slightly doesn't look right anymore. It's not like a nice oversaturation, it's like a comic book saturation, if you get what I mean. Like,
I know what you mean. And the twist is outlining as well, isn't it? Like outlining of the flowers, more detailed or defined they look, make it look like a flower looks artificial. I shouldn't say artificial, you like more cartoony look. So I think the key point is how well you blend those edge into the petal. So you know
Right.
there are the edge into, you know there are the edge on the end of the petal, but it's smoothly blended in it. I think that's one of the skill need to be learned, and it definitely will benefit for, if you want to create the realistic looking flowers.
So do you use any type of blenders, like solvents or anything, or blending sticks or something?
I used to use a solvent when I doing the pepper trait. It was very useful actually, but I found a little bit of difficulty with the when there was a very easy chance to make color go muddy, and then that was more forgivable when I was doing the fur, because first you don't do the like a one grain of the hair, you kind of block away as like a big chunk of a hair together with the details on it. So if a color goes muddy a little bit in that area, it's easily recoverable, definitely. But with flowers, I found it's too delicate to using solvent. But although I know the artists who use a solvent on a botanical artwork, and then oh, whole artwork is absolutely stunning and so realistic. So I guess it depends. everybody's style into their work, but my case, solvent didn't work. I only blend with color pencils. As I said, I only use the wax-based pencils to blend the colors and the oil-based color pencils to create the detail work.
Right, so no stick blenders or anything.
No, it never worked with me. It still worked with you though. I said even early stage, it didn't. I have one and I tried that because I'm not really sure what I'm doing with it. It's like, is it working? I cannot see anything happening.
Yeah, that's what I think too, because I've got one of those Caran d'Ache stick blenders.
Yes.
Yeah, that comes with the
Poor.
pencils. Yeah, I'm still struggling to learn to use it. Like, I tried it the other day and it sort of worked. Like, I drew a fish in the anemones. So I used it on the anemones to make them look as smooth as possible. And I guess it works better, obviously, the more colour you have to blend. So the more layers of colour pencil you have on your paper, the easier it is to use the stick blender. But still, I feel like it gives this weird like sheen on your work. Like it's got this sort of like weird transparent sheen that it leaves, and then it
Oh,
makes it
I
very hard
yeah.
to add any more over the top. So I'm not sure I like it.
I see. No, I tried once when I had my first set of luminous, you know, like at the new tool, you want to use it, I tried it, and then honestly, like, I don't think this is work with me. I don't even know what this is doing, and I never touched it since. We just sit in there.
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny, isn't it? I keep trying to use them, but it just keeps not working. I haven't quite figured
No.
out. No.
But it's there for the reason, isn't it? So it must be the other another artist listening to this podcast to think like, no, it works perfectly fine with me.
Exactly. So you were talking before about how important your reference photos are to you. Can you talk us through like how you choose your reference photos and like sort of do you kind of like manipulate them and edit them before you use them or take us through your process?
Well, reference photo is definitely was the crucial part I needed to create my artwork. Now I take my own reference photos, but it's only been a year. But up until that point, I used the free reference photos from Pixabay. And it was just so easy, so handy. There's so many brilliant photographers kindly uploaded these photos for you, or you can use it. Then I heard someone said, not all the photos on the Pixabay can be free. It's like someone actually uploaded something, someone else's work, and they say this is free. And because that was the point, I was starting to get involved in more exhibitions and the competitions and the magazine features, and I was slightly cautious about it. Like, what if I used this artwork? I use this photo to create my artwork, and then they have been featured in the magazine. And then one day the photographer claimed, oh, that's my reference photo. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it quite, yeah, it was a bit risky in a way, which I didn't want to take it. So, because of the reason, couple about my artwork, I wouldn't be able to show much anymore because of the very, very reason. Like, I have one drawing with the yellow butterfly on the blue hydrangea. Absolutely love the piece from the beginning to the end, enjoy the entire process. And you know, when you have the artwork, one of those artwork, like, oh, I love it. Like, I happily put it on my wall. Yeah, that image was from Pixabay. And so I cannot really, I don't share that many with the others. Like, because that's a perfect photo can go in the magazine. That's a perfect photo. At first, the perfect drawing can go in the exhibitions, but I'm afraid using it. So anyway, because of the reason I started taking the reference photo myself, no fancy tool with me. I only have my phone, and that I'm not a photographer. So that was definitely a massive learning curve. Even though these days, the phone quality is so good. You can take really good photos, but unfortunately, I don't have that skill. So I take a hundred of photos, and then if I'm lucky, I can have one, may one or two workable. So the problem I actually have taking my own reference photo with my phone is if you are drawing a smaller size scale drawing, any kind of reference photo can work with you. But if you are drawing the large scale of drawing, every single details are so important. So when I take a reference photo myself and when I enlarge them, those details I would like to see is not there. Then I have to either create them or have to work with it. But it's quite a risky process in order to do it, because in the end I have to using my creativity to create those invisible lines. And my this drawing, I spent like 100 hours on it because it potentially can ruin my drawing, and there's nothing much I could do. So it takes definitely a lot longer process to get my reference photo now, because before you were just lazily sitting and then casually searching it, select it and then draw it. But now I need to take a photo, hundreds of it, change the composition, change the lighting, and then if I'm lucky, I may have one or two that I can work with. But yes, that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Oh, that's so wonderful. I feel like it is quite, I feel like maybe it's even more satisfying when you've taken the picture yourself as well, and then you've turned it into an art piece. You've almost, I don't know, had more steps to the creation process than you normally would have if you were just browsing and picking a picture.
I agree, definitely. My current piece is a two-road drawing, two roads with connected with a red ribbon, and then I took a reference photo myself. And they, somehow it worked. This is definitely working because I am, you know, when your artwork's working because your speed of your work process is so fast. So, yeah, I know what you mean. I enjoy the taking the reference photo, and then I enjoy the trace that image onto my drawing paper, and then I'm happy to see that it is actually creating something on there. So yes, I know what you mean, definitely.
That's so wonderful. So, how do you take the reference photos? Do you buy the flowers, or do you go out and take pictures of the flowers, or how does that work?
Well, as I said, I love flowers. In my house, yeah, the flowers are coming all the time because I buy flowers weekly basis. Oh, those poor flowers. But yes, so that's what I do. I usually buy flowers for myself, and then my husband bring it home for me as well. But this rose is a bit different. I've been given by one of my son looked after friend's dog one day, and then that was belonged to their grants, so they kind of give me the rose. I said thank you, and then so the guy, when I receive it, like, you know, the old those feelings when I had such a lovely time with the dog that night before, and then such a lovely couple, they came in with their flowers, and you know, it's all those, so everything was just so perfect. And then I thought, I think I'll draw it because she actually said she loved to buy some flower, and that she would follow my Instagram as well. So it's like, oh, fun! So I told her, Joshi, yeah, who mentioned the Kelly, that I'm going to draw the roads with that rose, bare roads. So yeah, that's how we started. But usually I buy my own flowers, yes, or I take a photos when I go outside with my dog, and if I see something I like and I take a photos. Like I met my friend the other day, and she has such a massive, beautiful hydrangea. I mean, flowers so big, I don't know how she does it. She said she's just abandoned in the corner and they grow like a seriously my garden that. Nah. But so all I did was taking photos of the hydrangea. That's what I do. I
That's so
know.
funny.
So sad.
It's fine. Leave it to the experts. They know how to do it. I'm honestly the same. I kill everything that comes in here. I tried to have loads of plants in my studio. They all died. They're no longer in my studio. So I'm the same. I understand completely what you mean.
Oh
Definitely not.
God. Oh, no, I'm not alone.
The creation comes from our art, not our ability to keep plants alive, so.
Oh, I love that.
So,
Oh,
I
that
want to
sounds
give you
cute.
a big congratulations on your new book that's coming out.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's a coloured pencil workbook, Fabulous Flowers, and it's
Yes.
coming out, is it the 18th of September?
It's coming out 16th of September in the USA and then 18th of September in the UK.
Oh, that's so wonderful. I'm so excited. So, what inspired you to create the book in the first place, and how has the actual creation process been?
Well, writing a book was one of my bucket list, definitely. And then when I started to draw flowers, I started to interact with the botanical artists, and then many botanical artists actually have their own book, but they are all watercolor based as well. And then when you look at them with their own book, it's like, wow, that's really cool. I wish one day I could do the same thing. But it's just like a, you know, like a one day type of thing. I don't know when it's going to be, if I'm able to do it and all that. And summer last year, I got a DM from this lady from America. She says she's an editor. She loves my artwork, and then she wants to create a book with me. But bear in mind, at that point, I was having a swapped over so many scam DMs. Like, I want to buy your artwork with NFT, or I want to work with all those like exhibitions. And so I had to really carefully go through all the scam email and all that. But it sounds so good. And it's the way you, when I read it sounds legit. But I just, you know, those feeling of I still cannot be too careful about this. So me and my husband on the sitting on the settee, searching her name on the Google. Is this person really real? And yeah, there is words on the Google, her face as well. So it's like, oh, she's legit. She wanna write a book with me. It's like a massive thing. So I replied to her email, say yes, I'm interested. And then from that point, everything was just a sail through. We soon had a team meeting, and then we talk about potential things. Funnily enough, she got in touch with me, not based on my flower work, actually. She saw my paper trade because I used to do the YouTube. She saw some of my artwork in the YouTube. That's how she discovered me. And then when she finally got in touch with me for the book, I was already moved on to flowers. I know how things work, isn't it? And then, so it wasn't kind of definitely let go thing because I said I would love to do it. Then she had to go for the board meetings to, you know, like present about like potential of this book, of the ideas and stuff. So I was a bit of a waiting time because there's still that possibility it wouldn't go ahead. And then, no, the other end was all clear as well. And before I realized, I would sign the contract. And that's how, do you know what I mean? Like, since 2018 and with 2025, everything is coming so fast paced. It's like things are just like happening like this. But yeah, that's how I started to write a book. Oh, I still can't believe I'm still saying it, but it doesn't sound real, I must say. So I was starting to draw, planning it and writing it July last year. And then it's finally coming out. Oh, I can't believe it. I'm so excited, but so nervous. So nervous. Oh.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. It looks like a very beautiful book as well. I love the cover of it. I've seen a few
Thank
pages of the
you.
inside that you've shared. It's so
Oh.
nice.
You know what people said? I put my heart and soul into it. Oh, I meant it, honestly. I did everything in it. It's just, and this book came out so much better than my original plan as well. I learned so much while I'm creating this book. Original idea in my head was a little simpler version than this. Then you have this team work with me, and then I'm doing the researching, and then you have this feeling of, I would love to add some more here, I would love to add some more there. Like this book has a 20 the speed lab time lapse video included for the its project. But it wasn't originally it was more like a two or three project be recorded and they will be shared. But while I'm making like a, but I want to make a 20. Do you know what I mean? It is like that everything was add on to it, get some
Yeah.
more into it, some more into that. And I must say I'm absolutely in love with this book. I just had it last week in my hand, like a final, the author copy, and I just couldn't believe it. Everything I designed and all was on the computer, was beautifully printed, and then it's in my hand, and it's beautiful, so lovely.
Oh, so exciting. Because your book is printed on real drawing paper, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That was the one thing make it, this book stand out. I hope it is. So when I had the research with all other books, I found there's a lot of books that had good information in it, but kind of I as like how can I say, as I'm self-taught and then I learned everything myself, I know the feeling of overwhelming. When you are swamped by all this information, and when you have very little idea what you are doing, all of those lovely artistic words are just words. It's nothing to me. So I wanted to make sure this book is as simple as possible, as effective as possible, so people don't have to go to get like their papers here, the pencils are there, and books here. Their desk is full of things. I wanted to make it simple. So how we designed, in our first page, it's going to my original drawing as detailed as possible. And then right next to it, there'll be the name of the drawing and then the story about this flower. Oh, by the way, that's my another little touch in there because I put a little my thought onto that flowers, each flowers as well. And then there's a color palette, what kind of material we need to use it. Simple as possible, but it's very clear. And when you turn the page over, that's the third page would be step-by-step process. So there are the four steps in the left side, and then right side is a template, which is paper you can just directly use. So all you need to do is you look at the process in the left side and then draw in the right side. If you want to see my original drawing, just flip the page front and then you will see my drawing there. So you can easily compare yours and mine. So
Right.
that's how I did it. So yeah, I
So
think
that's why it's a
yeah.
workbook vibe because you work in the book and yeah, everything's very easy and accessible.
Exactly. But obviously, if you prefer using your own paper, we also have reference photos at the back of the book, so you can use that as a template yourself as well. So it works in both ways.
That's a good idea.
I think
So
so.
how did, yeah. So how did you pick which flowers to include then, which ones to draw?
Oh, that was quite a fun process because even though I love flowers, I didn't know all the names of the flowers. You know, like you know what a flower looks like, but you don't know all the
Yeah.
names of it. So they gave me this site to visit, which was a stock shutterbox. Yes, it was like
Yes.
a reference photo set all uploaded there. So all I have done was days and days of scrolling. I think I made like a 30 folders in there. Put the any reference photos when I think, oh, this is lovely, this is I like this one. I just put it all in there. It was kind of the first process. So each folder is each flowers, different flowers. So I have like folders of the flowers with the different reference photos I think I might be able to use and they're all in there. So once I have done that, going through the each folders and then just to take a look, does something look too difficult, does something may not work, composition's not right, because It's a 20 project in the book. I would love to put them together like online, be uniformed position wise. So there's a lot of selections process were there. Took a long time to do that as well. Longer than I actually thought it would take. Yeah. So that's what I did. Go through a lot of flowers and then selecting the flowers very carefully. And some of the flowers unfortunately couldn't make it to the book. So who knows, maybe second book coming out. Who knows? Open for the options.
That's exciting. So
No.
do you have a favorite?
Sorry.
Do you have a favorite?
Oh, my favorite. Well, I loved all of them, but there's one particular flower, which is the power of patchouli. I just, have you heard of that kind of thing? When you look at the photo, you fell in love. Like the composition, the color, everything was just perfect. At one point, actually, I wanted to put that as a cover picture, but unfortunately, Tim didn't have the same idea. They thought it would be too simple, but it was just lovely, really nice. But it almost couldn't make it to the book, though. I really worked hard for it. So what happened is one of the this book, one of the thing I made sure for this book was don't make a process too long. Don't make people to go through the process and then lose their way. Try to do the step one to step four. So four process, that's all they need. And that was quite challenging because I still, in order to do that, I really need to study and then carefully select it, the right color pencils and then the directions where they go, how they line them. I needed to know so I could put it on there, make sure it's done in four steps and then still get the realistic result. Oh, the power of telephones though, it was hard. It was hard. Harder to make it in four, into four steps. It wasn't easy, but I did it. I had to do five attempts, five different way to finally get it. Oh, I think I did it. I did it. And then I redo following my own step by step and then it worked. So yeah, so that's my favorite drawing. I must say that was the most technically challenged to be as well. And I'm so happy that it actually ended up in the book.
Oh, that's so fantastic. Yeah, I know what you mean by like trying to plan it so much so it fits in four steps, because when you're drawing your own drawings on the big scale, you don't have to think about that stuff. You're sort of
No.
just doing it, aren't you?
I know. Wow, that was one thing I didn't expect that. It was the most challenging part. When you draw, you just draw, don't you? When you pick up the color, you just pick up the color because there's so many variety choices in front of you. But when you actually write the process and then limited the color pencils and then limited the process, that was real challenging. Yeah, I really struggled, I must say. I really did. Plus, because English is not my first language, writing those things in a simpler way was, oh, that was really hard. So I used my husband then. Really. I write all the process and passed to my husband. Okay, let's read it and then let me know what you think. And he's reading through it. I can understand it. It doesn't flow naturally. No, it doesn't make sense. Okay, but then now you're passed. Can you please rewrite for me? So yeah, that we kind of work together. Fair play. I need to give him a commission.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. I do the same thing with my husband. He's my like spell checker, grammar checker. It's very helpful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's definitely that process definitely working in this house.
Yeah.
Know what to do with him, honestly. There is obviously the proofreader and the publisher. But you know, before sending, you have to make sure what you're sending is not gonna embarrass you. So I had my proofreader, my own proofreader in the house.
Yeah.
So he read my book so many times. He might be able to write a script about it.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because when I first wrote my book, Art Is My Career, how to start an art business. My husband helped me as well proofread it and edit it, and it's a long process, but it sort of, I guess
Oh,
it gives you a new insight into working together as well, which is quite nice.
I know, that's right. Oh, by the way, I bought your book. I'm definitely, You know, you had your book with the artist picture. Once they have the collage, then they know, but I'm there.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh my
That's true.
goodness,
Yes, I
seriously.
remember. Yes. Yeah.
You helped me so much in there. I had a zero business skill. I hate business. I don't know marketing. I didn't know how to price and things. So your book really gave me a good tip that time. So thank you.
Oh, I'm so pleased. That's like 6 years ago now, I think. 5 years ago. It's like 5 years ago
Yeah,
now.
I know. So when I just started, see?
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. I'm so pleased my book can help you. Well, I'm really looking forward to your book because I'm hoping it will help me.
Oh, I really hope so too. Oh, that's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can actually believe I'm actually having this conversation with you. Seriously, I still remember when I bought your book and then I wrote your DM to you and then you replied to me. I think it's just very simple kind of gesture of a thank you and stuff. And then I told John, like, Sana replied to me. It's like a celebrity. Like, ah.
That's so funny. And now here we are just chatting.
Oh, and then now here we're chatting in the podcast and they be talking about buying book. How nice was this?
Exactly.
It's just it's
Isn't that
so
wonderful?
interesting. Love it.
Yeah. So, what do you hope that someone will feel after finishing all 20 of the projects in your book?
Oh, that's a lovely question. I hope they will fall in love with the color pencils the way I did. I really hope my book is one of those opening steps for those people who haven't tried botanical work or any kind of work with a color pencil. I hope this is the book. Each project, when they finish it, I really hope they feel like, oh, I cannot believe I just created this flower with 4 hours with a couple of pencils. And I really hope they feel proud of themselves, but mostly I want them to fall in love with the color pencil. It's such a beautiful medium to work with. Yeah, I think so. And I just want them to be happy. Doesn't flower make you happy? But it does to me.
Yeah, definitely. No, they've got such a vibrancy to them that just makes I get what you mean with the whole calm thing. Like when I was drawing my little studies, it does make you calm, especially when you're not doing it wrong. It makes you calm.
Definitely. I usually say drawing is my meditation, it's my therapy time, and then I truly mean it. The moment I sit down with my pencil, and then I don't normally listen music. I watch some, like a friend, something you can put it on the background, but you know what's happening. You watch so many times. So it is like my proper comfort zone, that is. Listening something my favorite program and then I'm drawing something and then drawing it coming alive in front of you. The whole process is so relaxed. So yeah,
So
definitely.
wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Sun, for joining me today and being so generous with your knowledge. Be sure
Thank
to
you.
visit learnmycraft.com to level up your own artistic journey. And don't forget to check out Sun's fantastic book, the Coloured Pencil Workbook, Fabulous Flowers. The link is in the description below. And thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time on the Learn My Craft podcast.